You're listening to Better Than Fiction with your hosts, D.L. Nelson and Scott Sackett.
All right, welcome back to Better Than Fiction, your pop culture podcast. Oklahoma City's premier pop culture podcast, I might add. And as always, I'll be your host, D.L. Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Yeah, Scott, this will be episode 431. Woo! That is right, 431. And we're going to do some cool stuff. I want to say real quick, it's already passed, but I hope everybody had a good free comic book day. But when you hear this, it will have already passed.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right. So, let's start off. It's just wrapped. We've both watched all six episodes. Let's start off talking maybe a little bit about Marvel's Disney Plus show, Moon Knight. So, do you have an opening thought that kind of encapsulates what you felt about the whole series? Because I do, and it is like, my word for it would be dislike.
I thought, you know, okay, first off, I think we talked about the comic series Moon Knight. I read the first issue when I was a kid, and literally that's all I've read about Moon Knight.
Okay.
So I feel like I would be the equivalent, unlike my wife, for example, who's read no Moon Knight.
Or my wife.
And so right. I don't know any... Now, I do have the Essential, and I've read some of the Essential, but the Essential does not go into much of what... I think a lot of this is material from later in the series, in the comic series.
Right, yeah.
A lot of... Now, some of it was from the deal with the Khonshu and some of that stuff, but a lot of it came along later. What do I think about it? I thought it was kind of a dud.
It was a dud. The story was not very good.
No, it was they tried to be something different, which I'm okay with, but I think they just missed the mark. Now, there are probably people out there that, I'm sure there are people that liked it. I don't know the reviews. I haven't read a lot of reviews about it, to be honest, so I don't know if people like it or don't like it. The one person I know that was watching it besides you and me, she liked it, but she, as she said, I would watch Oscar Isaac read the phone book. So yeah. She is not a credible witness.
And he's not the problem.
No, he's not the problem.
And the problem is the story. And another
right.
Another,
well, another I would argue that, again, I don't know the character that well, but he doesn't fit the mold of the character when I read that first issue in the early issues. Now maybe he moved on, but he was never the character when I read it was never kind of a spineless kind of guy.
Well, only one of them is. The other guy's like a mercenary.
Yeah, but I mean, they were all kind of. And he had different. Well, when I read it, he had different identities. They weren't distinct personalities as such, but they were all like agents of, you know, Moon Knight, so to speak.
It wasn't like created because of a traumatic circumstance from his childhood.
Right, and I don't know if that's canonical or not.
I don't know if it is either. All the Moon Knight I've read, I didn't read any of the early stuff. I've only read a little bit, like I said before, some later stuff, plus I've seen him in group books, which they don't really go into his backstory. I don't care for the Egyptian god stuff, personally.
Yeah, it's not a... It's, I'm not familiar with it.
It's not my bag. I Oscar Isaac, I like him a lot as an actor. I think I've seen a lot of stuff he's been in. He's good. He did the two roles well with the accents and all that, and his mannerisms and all that. He was great. The female actress, her name's May Calamwa, maybe? I don't know if that's exactly correct, but she was fine as his wife. Ethan Hawke, I've never liked that guy,
yeah.
So I could take him or leave him. I don't think there's one movie I've liked him in. So the fact they've got him in it was not a draw for me at all. But I will say this. So the show's called, is it called Moon Knight or Stephen Grant?
Yeah, Moon Knight wasn't in much of it, was
he? So Moon Knight is the name of the show, but you know, if the show over six episodes was, let's say, 5 hours and 15 minutes or so, was Moon Knight even in 30 minutes of the show?
I would argue it's worse than that. I mean, I mean, I get what you're saying, but it's worse than that because the way that they did the show, he basically, not every action scene, but most of the action scenes, he passed out, and so we didn't see it.
Well, I think it's the third personality took over.
Well, no, but there were more than that. I mean, there was more than just that last one.
Yeah.
Several episodes, the action...
And the truck, and that delivery truck that happened too.
Right. And in the early, when he... I mean, there were several episodes, there were big action scenes that we didn't see because of how they chose to present the character. And I think they were going for a dramatic thing. And maybe in that angle it would succeed. I'm not watching comic book movies for a dramatic thing. I want to see some action. And if they're going out of their way not to show the action, that doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, who are they catering to here?
Apparently people like Oscar Isaac, or Isaac Oscar.
No, whatever. It's not that. It's the people that I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're catering to the normal comic book fans at all.
Well, I don't know that Moon Knight... Well, I think the latest Moon Knight is doing fairly well. But I don't know... Well, here's what I don't know for not reading the book. I don't know if they show it in the book. I can't imagine that in the comic, maybe, like, at the beginning, he wakes up with blood on his hands or something like that. Oh, my God, what did I do?
Right.
That's dramatic, but when action is happening and then you blink and it's over multiple times, I can't imagine that makes for compelling reading.
Well, in a plot device of you wake up with blood on your hands and then usually it's like...
It's resolved.
It's like 4 hours earlier.
Yeah.
You know, then they show got there.
Or it's like Dark City. You're trying to figure it out. But there was no... Once it happened, you knew what was going on. They just didn't show it.
Yeah, probably the best scene in the whole damn show was maybe that bathroom scene you got at the very first. Yeah,
absolutely.
And the rest of
The show got weaker as it went on, I thought. I thought the plot got more convoluted.
The whole thing about the Avatar people inside the pyramid, who, like, basically like a board of directors looking kind of people, I didn't care for any of that angle. The whole Ethan Hawke with his followers all over the world with the scales. Who cares?
Go and do.
And they're avatars of this and that. Then they bring his wife in as the Scarlet Scarab or whatever.
So
whenever
like
she showed up, I told my wife, I go, "Is this the second coming of the almighty Isis?"
She is. I told my wife, I go, "Good thing the girl's there to save him."
Well, I was like, it can't be Isis because she's like a DC character.
But right. Well, and beyond all that, I felt like it suffered from what a lot of these Marvel shows suffer from.
Wait, what do they suffer from?
Not enough plot for the time.
Oh.
And they seem to just flounder, some of them.
So really, by what you're saying, not your standards, but what you're saying... This should have been, with the amount of action we had, they could have put enough story in it, maybe two episodes instead of six.
Yeah.
I think so, too. The whole thing, the whole barge on the sand, water.
Yeah, that was...
I hated every bit. The hippopotamus girl, I hated every bit of that. I literally loathed the whole thing.
Yeah, they could have...
That whole thing I loathed. I just hated the whole thing.
Yeah, and again, I mean, there are probably people out there that are into... I mean, I used to work with a girl who's really into Egyptian mythology, but I don't know anything about it. It doesn't do anything for me. I get it. It's the backstory. I'm okay with the backstory being a mythology that I'm not familiar with, but it just didn't grip me, and frankly, it kind of lost me in a lot of places. I thought, like I said, I thought it was just kind of a miss. And I would say, you may disagree with this, but I would say of the Marvel series, the MCU ones,
the TV shows, yeah,
I have not liked more of them than I've liked.
You haven't watched any of the Netflix ones, right?
I've seen like the first Daredevil series. It's on Disney. I'm gonna work my way through them.
You know. really none of it is as good a quality as Daredevil.
I thought Daredevil was great.
None of the Disney Plus shows are Daredevil, Jessica Jones, or even Punisher quality, in my opinion. Those three are like on a completely different level than what we've seen. Except for maybe WandaVision, which was kind of its own thing.
WandaVision was one I'm on the bubble on, whether I like it or not. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was convoluted, but the way that they kept changing it, like, oh, it's in black and white, oh, it's in color, it's set in the 70s, it's set in... There was enough going on that it didn't feel like they were padding it. Some of it felt really padded.
Yeah, I would say probably WandaVision. Oh, Hawkeye wasn't bad.
Hawkeye was my favorite. But Hawkeye was the only one that I would say I thought was a solid...
But those two are still not, I don't think, on the Netflix level.
Maybe not. I'd have to rewatch them.
In fact, I have to kind of say, man, I'm kind of blaming Feige for this. They got rid of Loeb. Maybe they should have kept Loeb, man. Loeb had it going on.
Yeah, maybe. I think the series I would compare this to, maybe the most, I would say might be Loki, but I felt it was...
Dude, Loki was way better.
Yeah, I think it probably was. At least, I thought, to me, Loki felt really padded, but at least Loki was very... It was always interesting.
Loki was interesting. I mean, I think it was way more interesting. Plus, since it's got to do with probably Marvel's next big villain, I think it's going to have some... I think there'll be something to do with that down the road. I could be wrong, but I think that's where they're going. I'm not sure what the whole purpose of Moon Knight is, unless they just want to introduce him and possibly put him either with some street-level characters, maybe another version of the Defenders or something down the road. I don't know.
Well, the way that they introduced him and used him, I don't feel like he's a team player.
No, I don't think so either. I don't know what they'll do with him then. I mean, I don't know.
I was reading is they said this was it.
There will be no, so you don't think there'll be any more Moon Knight?
No.
TV or movies?
I mean, they may use him in a movie, but I...
That's what I'm saying. Oscar Isaac's a movie actor. I would think they're going to use him in a movie somewhere.
Yeah, but maybe he didn't want to do an MCU movie. He may have just been like, I'll do this, but I'm not doing a movie.
See, I heard something completely different than what you heard. Initially, I heard it was six and they were done. Then I heard that this wasn't going to be a series finale, but a season finale. I heard that pretty recently, so I don't know. But
just yesterday, there was an article that came out that said that they've confirmed that it's done.
Okay, all right, that's more recent than what I heard.
I'll
go back with that.
Last day or two.
And if that's the case, I'm totally fine with that.
I have no interest in watching it.
Because if they come out with six more episodes, I would watch it, but I would struggle.
So, looking at the MCU overall, I honestly would have to say, since Endgame, what have you liked out of the MCU? Strictly MCU.
Not kind of Spider-Man?
Spider-Man was great. I bought the DVD. It's in there, sitting in there. I mean, or the Blu-ray.
I need to get a copy of that.
Because one, you know it won't stream on Disney Plus, but even beyond that, I like Spider-Man. I thought the movie was pretty good, but forget about that. It's not a Marvel thing. I mean, it's not an MCU thing. What have you liked since Endgame? What have you liked out of the MCU? TV or movies? Have you liked any of the movies?
Well, the movies would only be just the three, right?
Yeah.
No, I didn't like the three. I mean...
Yeah, would you have bought any of those?
Well, I do have a copy of Black... I'll eventually get them on Blu-ray, but right now all I've got is a copy of Black Widow.
Okay.
I bought Black Widow when it first came out. I did not buy Shang-Chi, and I did not buy The Eternals. I'll probably eventually pick those up if I see a deal on them on Blu-ray. I'm not going to go out and spend $30 on them or anything like that. But
the last episode we were talking about streaming versus physical media, and I'm with you. Even though it's on streaming, if I like it, like, I would buy it, just to own it, just because.
There's other things, too, like, when you buy it, you get the digital copy, you also get deleted scenes and this and that, so yeah, I think it's kind of worth it.
If you're interested in it.
Yeah, right, right. And so, like I said, if I saw a deal on them...
So you got Black Widow, right. But you at that point you hadn't seen it.
No, I'd saw it.
Oh, you had?
Yeah, I'd saw it. I thought, well, I'll just get it anyway, because I'm buying them all anyway. I thought I'd get it. I haven't pulled the trigger on the other two. But to get back to your answer, to your question, no, not really.
I like Hawkeye. Hawkeye.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was thinking of the movies, but yeah.
Oh, Hawkeye, no, movies and streaming.
Probably Hawkeye. Hawkeye was good. That'd be about it, probably.
If Hawkeye of all of them.
Well, hang on a minute. WandaVision came after also, so WandaVision.
Oh yeah.
WandaVision and Hawkeye. That'd be about it.
What of those? What would you watch again? Would you watch WandaVision again?
I'd probably watch both of those again. I liked them both.
I don't think I'd watch WandaVision, but I'd watch Hawkeye again. I will definitely watch Hawkeye again. I liked Hawkeye. I thought
that Hawkeye's your guy.
Well, I like the character. I like how the movie was done. I like the fact that it was set at Christmas. I like the fact it came out at Christmas. I could see myself watching it next Christmas.
Yeah.
It'll be a Christmas tradition. It'll be Hawkeye and it'll be Christmas on Mars by the Flaming Lips. That'll be my new Christmas traditions.
In Die Hard.
I don't watch Die Hard. I mean, I got Die Hard, but I don't watch it at Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, Die Hard is a good movie. No, I'm not hating on Die Hard. I'm not.
It takes place during Christmas.
It is a Christmas movie, but.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be Christmas to watch it.
Right, right. Yeah, probably just WandaVision and Hawkeye would be the two that I would say are
rewatchable.
Rewatchable out of all of them.
I still haven't watched all of Shang-Chi.
I don't need to watch Loki again. I get it. And definitely don't need to watch
Winter Soldier.
Falcon and Winter Soldier would be like more of a maybe, probably not. But man, Moon Knight would be a no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then as far as the animated ones, the MODOK and the What If, those are...
MODOK is not MCU.
It's
not on Disney Plus.
Yeah, no, it's on Hulu. They own it.
Oh, do they own Hulu?
Yeah, I get the Disney Plus Hulu together.
Okay.
MODOK will come back for season two. I like MODOK better than What If, and I should have liked What If better, if that tells you.
Oh, we never even finished What If.
Yeah.
We saw that Doctor Strange thing, and we were, I mean,
yeah.
You know, my wife and I don't watch a lot of TV. We don't sit down and watch TV together. So when we watch TV, it's usually like, hey, like tonight, we cooked, and then we sat down and watched Moon Knight while we ate. But other than that, we don't...
a good dinner. Yeah, I can see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, dinner and a crappy season ender. But I asked my wife what she thought about it, and she said... I said something about, you know, what do you think about that? And she said, well, I liked The Mandalorian better. And I go... Yeah, but you can't compare the two.
And no, she said she liked Boba Fett better, not The Mandalorian.
Well, she said The Mandalorian when I asked her the other day. Today she said Boba Fett. We haven't watched all of Boba Fett, though, so I don't know why she said that.
Boba Fett actually was pretty good, I thought.
She doesn't understand they're different things. I was like, that's Star Wars.
Yeah.
So at work this week, we were talking, And one of my employees told me that you can't refer to people by name. I mean, like, you can't call people names, basically. I was told, hey,
like Jackass?
It's a new day. Yeah, I referred to somebody by another name. I was telling a story, and I said, oh, this person, I won't say what I said about him, but... And they said, oh, no, you can't call women that anymore. And I'm
broads?
Like, what? broads.
That broad over there.
But no, you can't say that. And so then that day, the next day, they were talking about, and they referred to me, they were talking about themselves, these two were talking, and they were talking about being nerds, and then they said, oh, you're a nerd. I go, hang on.
Yeah.
You can't call me a nerd. And right. They're like, oh, no, you're... I go, what makes you say that I'm a nerd? And they were talking about, oh, well, you read comic books. And I go, barely. And then I go, wait a minute, though. You're wearing a Doctor Who shirt.
Yeah.
Your lunch pail is Star Trek. your
bumper sticker in your car, your, so by yeah, the car the TARDIS.
Yeah, you talk about Harry Potter. You're into all, and so
yeah, who's the bigger nerd here?
Well, no, but they were like, oh yeah, we're nerds, and I'm like,
but
okay,
you can't label me.
Yeah, that well, I said, well, first off, whether you're offended or not, I'm offended by it, so you can't call me that.
Right.
You know, because they were trying to...
Because I was calling you a broad, and that didn't work.
Well, that's not what I... No, I didn't call anybody that name. I was referring to somebody as... Actually, I referred to somebody as a skank.
That could be, though.
That's what I said. I said, what would you call them then? You know?
Exactly.
And well, anyway, I was told, Phyllis no, no,
the skank.
Yeah. Like, no, no, no. There's somebody that made different life choices or something. But...
No, please.
Anyway, my point with them was... Because they were like, oh, no, you like this. And I'm like, no, no, no. Because to
that's
me...
That's irrelevant.
Well, yeah. First off, our argument is irrelevant because they just told me you can't call people names.
Right.
And they're calling me names. They're saying, oh, no, it's not a bad name. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Doesn't matter.
If I think it's a bad name, it's right. a bad name. Right. You know,
that's
so,
the same way sexual harassment works.
And every kind of harassment,
yeah.
apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway, whether you think it's a nice... I mean... The rappers think it's a good word, but I don't call them that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but my definition of nerd, because my wife and I are talking about, I was thinking about several of our friends, one in particular, who, like, all their shirts are something to do with, you know, Doctor Who or, like, a comic, not comic book so much as, like, Star Wars or, you know, and it's like, they like everything. That's my thing. And I don't like everything.
Right.
You know, I could give two craps about Doctor Who. I mean, I watched Tom Baker when I was a kid. And
David Tennant was good.
Whatever. Anyway, yeah. I don't care. I could care less about Star Trek. I could.
Dude, Star Trek's awesome.
What I could go about? My entire life and never watch. I would watch the original series. I could go. They could put out 1,000 Star Trek series, and I'll never watch another one.
That's a you problem.
I'm not a nerd. To me, a nerd to me, like the nerd, these nerds, they embrace all this stuff.
Well, you don't have to embrace
they don't
all
distinguish,
it. Well,
but they don't distinguish.
But you can pick and choose what you like.
No, but they don't. They love it all.
They don't. They can't. They just don't have time to love it all. There's too much out there.
That's because their love is shallow. That's what
they're not deep.
They're not deep.
They don't
yeah,
go deep
they,
on anything.
No. They're just like, oh, yeah, I love it. I bought the T-shirt. You know?
Oh, God.
It's my Hogwarts.
So if you
yeah.
got any kind of deep conversation with them, they couldn't.
No,
okay.
Well, they would probably talk the talk because they, but I mean, you know, they're not really like, and again, I'm not, you know, I don't care. Anyway, my point is, I think a lot of.
You get more discriminate tastes.
Well, I think the MCU is like that. That's where I'm going with all this. I think there are people that are like, I'm fans of the MCU, and they just like everything. I'm not like that. I'm like, even like with when I was a kid, I read comics. There were certain comics I liked. Screw the rest of them.
Right.
You know, and
oh, yeah, there's more junk out there than there's
no,
stuff,
yeah. Sure. I would rather be a fan of like a handful of things and really like them, and that's my thing. Then be like, oh, I'm fans of all this stuff, you know.
Yeah, they're shallow because they don't have. Yeah, they're not.
Well, they just yeah, they're just like I'll anything. They'll embrace all pop culture, you know. And I'm
it,
like,
you know, what it reminds me of when we used to go to San Diego all the time. We go to the costume thing at night, the big one at night, and. You would see all these costumes of this shit, and you're like, what is that from?
Yeah.
You know, it's from some anime cartoon or some manga thing you'd never heard of. But yet, there were people there that thought Sailor Moon or whatever was the best thing ever. And, I mean, I said Sailor Moon. Of course, we've heard of Sailor Moon.
Right.
But there was other, like, some video game or something you had never heard of.
Itchy Von Tetchy.
But, yeah, but there was fans of that. And
yeah.
You know, they had been exposed to that, and you had never heard of it. But yet,
well, we're not the anime generation. I mean, we kind
of... Well, it's even video game characters and stuff you'd never heard of.
Yeah.
It's just weird stuff, you know?
And
but, you know, going back to your labeling people...
you know, a few weeks back, my wife and I, we went to Las Vegas and
did you see any skanks?
Oh, plenty of skanks. It's skank city out there. But what I was going to say is we went to the 60s, you can call it like a revival or whatever, but it was a Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin at one of the casino clubs. And it had all these guys that kind of looked like them and did their mannerisms and wearing the 60s looking suits and singing their songs and stuff. And it was like a dinner thing. There's like dinner involved and all
that. So it
was
like one of those tribute band kind of things.
Yeah. The guy that was Dean Martin, though, looked and sounded like a young Dean Martin. This guy was perfectly cast or whatever. The Frank and the Sammy were not that great looking like them. But they could sing and dance and that kind of thing. But the funny thing is they would do these, in between songs and stuff, they would do this little comedy thing they did. And it was very, like, 60s off color.
Oh, yeah. Very, oh, gosh.
Very, very much so.
Which is like, hey, call the cops, man.
Yeah. But at one point, early on, Frank goes, hey, it's the 60s, we can say that. He broke character and said, he basically broke the fourth wall and said, hey, we can say that. And then from there, it just got kind of worse. So, like, if you would have went and saw them at the Sands in, like, the 60s...
This is what they did.
This is exactly what they did, and that's what you signed up for when you bought the ticket to go see them. I didn't realize how much it would be as far as that went.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They pushed it really far and probably over the line, but I think the audience all knew it was, like, the joking...
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Well, it was part of the experience.
It was, and it was fine. But I think to those guys, if those guys were still alive, they would call people nowadays a bunch of fucking pussies.
Yeah.
You know? Because yeah. Those guys were hard drinking, hard smoking, and they would get in a fight with you, and they'd punch you right in the mouth, is what those guys would do. They wouldn't cater to this canceled bullshit. They'd go, cancel me, cancel this. Yeah. And they'd punch you right in the mouth, you know? Yeah. And then have a drink in one hand while they did it. And a cig in their mouth, you know?
Yeah, another example of that is they were talking about something or another, and I was talking about, oh yeah, you know, I watched this show, and on HBO, I watched a couple of episodes of this show. I can't think of the name of it. I said, I think it's called The Stewardess or something.
Oh yeah.
And they go, no, 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 it's the flight attendant. You can't call a stewardess. You know,
I was going with it, but yeah.
They were all like...
Who cares?
Yeah, they were all like, no, no, no. I mean, they weren't as offended by that as Skank. Skank was really like...
Dude, if I want to use stewardess, I'll use stewardess.
Well, the show's called the flight attendant.
Yeah, but you can call a guy a steward, can't you?
Sure.
Or just a male stewardess.
A male stewardess.
Or just a stewardess.
I'm swinging dick. You're male stewardess.
Exactly.
So, speaking of swinging dick, we were talking about...
Swinging Dick Jenkins?
We have a friend named Richard Jenkins, and somehow...
Not the actor.
Not the actor that we talked about last episode, but... And somehow we started referring to him as Swinging Dick Jenkins.
Swinging Dick. If you're out there, Swinging Dick, hey.
Yeah, hats off to him. And it was a term of endearment for sure. Definitely not derogatory. But
Well, before he was married, he was a Swinging Dick, man.
Right. So at work we had to do, they got this portrait in they had to do a sculpture of. And they were kind of giggling, literally, because the guy's name was Richard, and then under this portrait it said Richard, quote, Dick, whatever, you know, and they were like, oh man, if my name was Richard, I'd never go, and I was like, you know what, if my name was Richard, I would go by Dick.
Damn right. You had to embrace the dick.
Exactly. That's what I told him.
And I would be a dick.
It's your name. You have to go with it.
They'd be like that motherfucking dick.
Oh, and they giggled. Just like, I don't know. If any Richards are listening, man, don't go by Richard. Don't go by Rich. Go by Dick. Go by embrace, Dick. Embrace it.
And be a big dick.
If it's a good enough for Dick Grayson, it's good enough for you, man.
It's good enough for both the dicks that were in Bewitched.
Exactly.
But those guys were dicks.
Yeah, go roll with it, man. That's what I... You know, sometimes something happens, and maybe somebody gets dealt a bad hand by life, or something happens. Dude, if you got that, you got to swerve into it, man. Yeah, man. Own it. It's you... You know, do it, go with it. Can I go first? Are we through?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me go. Now, see, you got me fired up because you were talking about going and seeing Frank Sinatra and the Sands, and they punch a guy in the mouth.
Good times.
And they give somebody a beat down for looking at him wrong.
Right.
And they'd probably be drinking and smoking.
The New Jersey way.
Exactly. So that brings me to what I've been watching lately is The Sopranos.
Ah, New Jersey.
I watched The Sopranos a few years ago. At one point, it was on Amazon Prime. I don't know if you... Well, you probably don't know that, but because you saw it on HBO when it came out, didn't you?
I was watching it as it was coming out, yes.
Yeah, I didn't watch it as it came out, didn't have HBO. I watched it on Amazon Prime, and I got into, like, the last season. I watched all the way up through season 5, and I stopped, and I was talking to Ellis, and Ellis was like, dude, you've got to watch, he's like, you're there, which last season, I don't know, I think there's like 30 episodes in it. It's parts 1 and 2 even. But
oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know how many it is, but there's a lot of episodes last season. So he convinced me to go back and watch it. And literally, I finished it out.
Okay.
And I watched the last episode, and then it went off Prime, because Prime lost their deal. They had a deal with HBO. And the contracts changed, and I think it's when HBO Max came out is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so now my wife and I have HBO Max because of our cell phone. We have an AT&T cell phone, and so we got new cell phones, and we got HBO Max, and so I've been watched, and I'd seen it on there, and I thought, I ought to watch that again, because I think it's a series that rewards watching it twice. Have you rewatched it?
No, I need to.
I think you need to, because when I watched it the first time, there was some stuff. There's so many people in that
mm-hmm.
that I was like, you know, who are these people?
You know what that reminds me of? I watched Game of Thrones a second time.
Oh, yeah.
And that really. Once you watch Game of Thrones, you go back and watch it again, and you're in episodes 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and then all the stuff you learn from watching before, all that makes sense on who everybody is and how it all works.
Yeah, I
could see that in The Sopranos.
The Sopranos, I think, would be the same kind of thing. Maybe not so much like their fate, but there's like stuff that pays off like seasons down the road.
Right.
On The Sopranos, at one point, like Tony Lynn's, So Tony, at one point he lends a guy a drill, and like literally like a season and a half later, he's looking for the drill, and he's like, "Where's my drill at?" And she's like, "Oh," or maybe his wife is looking for the drill, and he's like, "Oh, I lent it to your brother-in-law, who ends up getting killed, I believe. I think he did. Anyway, so I'd watched The Sopranos on Amazon, then we got HBO. Plus or Max or whatever it's called. We got HBO, I guess it's Max. HBO Max. And I kind of wanted to see The Many Saints of Newark.
Yeah.
And I missed it on there, but then it came back. And so I watched it, and I realized how lost I was, because it's like some of the people I 100% remembered. Of course, it's a different cast. It's a prequel. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch the series again. And so I've been watching the series again. I usually watch about, this is how crazy I am, I usually watch it like an episode and a half or two a night. And so I've kind of burned through it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really enjoying it. I think you should watch it again, Dave, because a lot of stuff makes sense. I was kind of lost in some of the interaction between like okay, who's Joey Sack and who's, or Johnny Sack and who's, you know,
Johnny Pants.
Some of the New York guys, I was like not knowing some of the loyalties. And it's like, this guy's in prison. What's the big deal? And I think leading up to the end episode, I think it will make more sense the end episode when I watch it this time around. I'm not quite there. I'm season six. So I'm in the last season. I think I watched episode 5 or 4, something like that. But if you haven't seen The Sopranos, it's, I'm sure you know the setup. It's a gang TV series. It's based around a guy named Tony Soprano. Tony Soprano is one of the, and I don't know what his term is. He's not the boss of the family. There's a boss, and then his Uncle Junior is the boss of the family, but he's old. He's getting old. And then there's, I think the guy under him is, was his name, it's Carmen, I think. No, not Carmen. What was his name? I forget the guy. He's only in the very few episodes. He's getting treated for cancer and he dies. And so it kind of leaves this power vacuum because the boss, Uncle, they call him Junior, his name is Junior, but they call him Uncle June or Uncle Junior. He's the boss of the family, but he can't do anything because he's in pretty bad shape. At one point, he gets arrested, so he's under house arrest.
Then he gets senile.
He gets real senile towards the end. Well, it's funny. They're trying to do like a senility defense, and he ends up going senile. And so Tony is kind of the main guy moving things. And watching it a second time, you kind of understand more whatever his role is, and it makes a lot more sense. Stevie Van Zandt plays Silvio, I think his name is. Yeah, Silvia, who is his, and I'm going to butcher the name, is it Consigliari? He's like his right-hand man.
It's like his guy he can...
He's not a lawyer, and The Godfather is played by a lawyer. The lawyer had that position, but it's his guy that kind of controls things under him.
Yeah.
He's
like a guy he talks to and get some feedback from, that kind of.
Right. He's like his first officer.
Sort of like an advisor at times.
Well, in The Godfather, it's his advisor and he's a lawyer and he handles a lot of stuff. But he's like his advisor. But he's not out doing collections, I don't think. And then there are captains under him, and then the captains are in charge of people and they get money, and then you always kick up. And then Paulie is one of the captains under him, and Paulie, if you ever seen the show, I don't know what the actor's name is, but he's
Paulie Walnuts.
You're right. That's not his real name.
All those guys have like kind of names.
Yeah, they have weird names.
One's Joey Pants, I think.
Yeah, there was Big Pussy and Little Pussy. And
I always liked Big Pussy, man.
Yeah. And Paulie's a captain, but it's funny because you can see the lifestyle discrepancy, because like Tony lives in a mansion.
Yeah.
Sylvia lives in a pretty big house, and like Paulie lives in an apartment. But Tony is, he's having panic attacks, and so he goes to see a psychiatrist because he there's nothing physically wrong. He basically passes out, and there's nothing wrong with him, and so he's talking to a psychiatrist about some of his stuff. Yeah, and so as the series goes, you kind of see like, some evolution and things, and you see it. And one of the things, it's interesting because I've told several people that I am convinced if I ran a company and I had like managers under me, I'd make them all watch The Sopranos because there's management skills, I think.
And also, if you don't do a good job, we'll whack you.
Well, you know, I'm using Sopranos quotes on my employees all the time because one of them was talking about a situation. They're like, they want respect, you have to respect them. And I said, you have to give respect to get respect. You know, that's like a straight up Tony thing. He told Chris, one of the other guys is Tony's nephew, is a guy named Chris Montessori, and he's under Paulie and eventually becomes a made man, and you kind of see that through the process. And he has a girlfriend, and she runs afoul of the FBI, and they catch up with her. She kind of falls into a trap. And one thing you realize about this is anybody in their sphere gets chewed up and spit out. I mean, I'm not at the end yet, but people.
But you've seen the end already.
I've seen the end, and I don't know exactly what. The life of crime is not a good life. In some ways, it's kind of glamorized, but in some ways, like, you look at it.
Well, you're always looking over your shoulder.
All these people, I mean, and the slightest infraction can, well, first off, unless you're, like, on top, everyone is always kicking money up to you. And so if you're on the bottom, the money is piddly, you know. You're living this weird, like, gangster lifestyle, but it's... And even Chris, when he became a made man and was a captain, he still lived in that department, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like, at one point, like, Tony... There's a guy that Tony meets. I think he meets him through, like, the PTA. And the guy kind of knows what Tony's doing. And one thing Tony did was he ran this high-stakes card game. This guy liked to gamble, and he owned a sporting goods store. And so Tony was like, you know, this guy, and they were friends. They grew up together. And so he saw him, and he's like, oh, you know, I want to get on the poker game. He's like, look, you know, you don't want in this game. Trust me. And he's like, no, I can do it. I want to be in this game. And he goes, no, I don't want, you know, you don't want to do this. And finally the guy's like super pushy. So he's like, okay, let's him in the game. And the guy ends up owing him, like, a lot of money. And so, like, at one point, Tony goes over there and he tells him, you got Thursday to pay me, like, $5,000 or something, like $12,000. And he goes, and so the guy's avoiding him because he had the money. And so, like, Tony goes over there, and next thing you know, Tony's driving off in his son's new Nissan Pathfinder, you know, and he takes it home and gives it to his daughter, and his daughter's like, wait a minute, and the guy, and she was dating the guy at the time.
Oh, no.
And she's like, wait a minute, this is Joe's truck, you know, and so she refused to drive it, so Tony's like, okay, whatever, I think he sold it or whatever, and that guy, they ended up taking control of his business,
mm-hmm.
running up this credit, buying a bunch of stuff, selling it to blow. They're like, hey, why, you know, the supplier's like, why are you ordering, I forget what they were, they were ordering alcohol. It's like, why are you ordering alcohol or something?
Yeah.
I think it was beer they were ordering. And they were anything they could buy, they were buying his credit. They were running a store, and in the end, they burned it for the insurance money.
They did the same thing to the restaurant guy, too.
Yeah, they did to the the restaurant guy...
They became his partner, and they just took advantage of him.
No. There was a restaurant guy that was Tony's friend when they were kids, and Tony found out... This was when early on, because Uncle Junior was still in the thing... And all the gang guys would go there and eat because there's a real good Italian restaurant there in the area. And so Tony found out that Junior was going to have somebody killed in the restaurant. And he knew if he did that, it would ruin that guy's business. And so what Tony did, he burned down his restaurant, or he burned up his kitchen. He tried to get the guy to go out of town and close down. But the guy wouldn't take... He tried to give him tickets. The guy's wife was like, oh, you know, Tony's a gangster. You can't accept anything from him. And so Tony had some guys set his kitchen on fire and put his restaurant out of... In fact, he ended up moving. He had to move. They burned his restaurant down and he moved. But they knew if they did that, he'd get the insurance money and he could start over. But it basically like ruined the guy because he was never, I think towards the end he kind of rebuilt it, but it was always like, you know, and him and his wife had trouble because of it. But it was like, even their friends fall to bad ends.
Right.
But if you have HBO Max and you're interested, which I think it's great. It's obviously it's violent. I don't think it's like over the top. It's over the top violent, but I don't think it's necessarily gruesome necessarily. Obviously, a lot of profanity. One of the businesses that they hang out in is a strip club, so there's a fair amount of nudity.
Bada Bing.
Yes, a strip club called the Bada Bing. But I've decided if I ever owned a strip club, I'd call it the Badonk Badonk. Donk Badonk.
Yeah.
But it's a great... I think it's a great series. I've enjoyed watching it a lot. I'll be sad when I get to the end. At some point, I may watch it in the future. I really do think it's really well written and really, really well done. You see all the... Even though it has a big cast of characters that can be hard to keep straight, especially when you're watching the prequel and it's like their names and they don't have their crazy nicknames yet. But I think it rewards multiple viewings if you've seen it, you know, once. And I'll probably watch it again if it's available. Not immediately. It'll be a couple of years ago when I watched it the first time. When I get done with that, I don't know. I always watch like an episode or something before I go to bed. I don't know what I'll watch next. Since we have HBO Max, I've considered working my way through some of the DC TV stuff.
Oh yeah.
I thought about watching Teen Titans. I know that you said. Oh, what's the time travel thing?
Legends of Tomorrow.
I know you said Legends of Tomorrow was pretty good.
I liked it.
I've watched part of Doom Patrol. I thought that was pretty... Ellis watched that and he said it was pretty good.
The Legends, they canceled it. They're not coming back for an eighth season.
That's what I heard.
But I mean, to me, it's fine. I mean, seven seasons, that's good.
That's a long series, man.
They were talking about doing an eighth and they actually had a Booster Gold... showed up on the very last episode of the seventh season.
Oh, yeah.
So it was going to tie in Booster Gold for the eighth season, but they decided to cancel it. But to me, it kind of had an ending.
Oh, it did?
Sort of. So, well, I mean, and they had an ending, and they kind of went to this, like, an epilogue, and Booster Gold shows up. To me, it was kind of over with in my mind. So if they would have came back, I would have watched it, but I'm kind of okay that they wrapped it up.
Well, you know, all good things must come to an end. So.
I dug it. I mean, I dug it. What about, you ever think about watching, I haven't seen it yet, but I hear that Peacemaker is pretty good. You watch that?
Okay, so I really like the Suicide Squad, and I've seen the first episode of Peacemaker. I'm glad you said that. That's what I really need to watch next.
Did you like it? I haven't watched it.
I thought the first episode was pretty good.
Yeah, I need to.
And it's directed by James Gunn.
I need
so.
To probably watch that.
I've become kind of a James Gunn fan after watching the Suicide Squad.
Speaking of James Gunn, I saw that they just wrapped, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is wrapped.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then also, did you hear they were trying to, people were doing a petition to cancel Chris Pratt for some reason?
Oh, yeah, because they don't like the fact he goes to church.
I'm just like, look.
Screw those guys.
Screw those guys.
Punch them in the mouth while you're drinking.
You got your scotch in one hand, your cigarette in your mouth, and your other hand, your free hand, you're punching those pussies in the mouth. These people that want to cancel people.
Those mouths and the pussy.
These people, I mean, I've kind of had it. It's like, come on.
Well,
and the fact that Disney caters to them is unbelievable.
That's the problem, is because, first off, And I saw this years ago.
The vocal minorities. It's ridiculous.
That when people... So what happened in comics was you had all these people spring up with blogs, and all of a sudden anybody could complain about anything. And the comic companies really took that seriously. And I'm like, man, they got to look at how many people are really...
They might even be buying those books.
Exactly. And I feel like some of that stuff you just ignore and it goes away. You know, Neil Adams, and I'm still waiting for somebody to come out and say Neil Adams was secretly a horrible person that, whatever, did terrible things. And supposedly, and I don't remember the incident, but somebody was saying a few years ago he came across where they were complaining, and, you know, just because he's the target audience of comic creators who hate old white men, and they were complaining about something he may have done or said or whatever, maybe called some woman a skank or something, and they didn't like that.
Right.
And he basically just told them, hey, whatever, you know?
Hey, whatever, I grew up in the 60s.
He
grew up in the 60s, man, or 50s or whatever. He don't care.
Yeah, I feel like people have the power you give them. And I mean, it's just like this. You know, my wife and I were somewhere, and there were some protesters, and we were in a restaurant, and they had us trapped in the restaurant, and people weren't leaving. We were ready to leave, and I asked the restaurant, "I go
Fifth Avenue.
Are you gonna? Is anything?" They said, "Oh, people were waiting, just waiting." I'm go, "We don't. There's no end time to this. We're just gonna last all night." So I push my way through that, and when we get done, one of the girls in this has followed my wife, and she's got a cell phone in my wife's face, and she's like, I don't know if she's live streaming, I don't know if she's videoing, I don't know what she's doing.
She's part of the protest?
Yeah, and she's going, she's got a camera on my wife's face, she's like, this is the face of a racist, this is a racist, do you admit that you're a racist? And my wife is like, I don't care what you say. You need to get a job, get to work, get off the... You know, my wife has given her the business. And she's like, so you admit you're a racist. I was like, I don't care what you say. Some people in that...
What about slapping the foot on the ground and smashing it?
Well, I came over there when the girl saw me coming. Because Michelle had walked away from the group. The group was probably 35 yards away. So we were down the street. She'd followed Michelle down the street. When she saw me, she took off running because I was going to do that. That cell phone was going in the sewer.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And when she saw me, she took off running. But there was nobody around. She broke free from the group. Once you leave the group, you got no power.
Yeah.
But my point is, some people in that situation would be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be on the internet. They're going to call my company. My company's going to fire me. I'm going to get kicked out of church. I'm going to get kicked out of this. You know, my wife is like, none of that's going to happen to me, so screw you.
Yeah.
Now, my wife is not the kind of person to tell somebody, screw you. But she didn't care. She was just like, whatever you say. My wife was ignoring her. Just telling her, you need to get a job. You know?
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, what happened to, like, protests where you're not, like, blocking places and friendly protests?
Dude, there were cops watching them do it, and they didn't do anything. The cops...
Pussies, man.
It was in New York City. That's New York City for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they were protesting. I don't care.
It's a five-day work week, man.
Okay, I can get behind that, maybe. But I was eating in a restaurant, trying to have an enjoyable evening with my wife and a friend. We wanted to leave. They had no right to keep us. It's actually illegal to detain somebody illegally.
So they wouldn't open the doors for you guys?
The doors were open. They were blocking the sidewalk. I walked out, and there was a girl standing in the stairs, and I had to shove my way around her. She yelled at me and called me a rapist for touching her.
Well, you should have helped her down the stairs.
Oh, some guy kicked at me, but I stepped on his foot.
Damn right.
Yeah. He kicked at me, and I was walking, and he hit the bottom of my shoe, and I ended up stepping on his foot.
Good.
Yeah,
it was, these just sound like hooligan troublemakers.
Well, I don't know why the cops would let them block the restaurant. That's the that was the annoying thing. I mean, they had been.
Yeah, you know, the cops should get off their fucking horse and get over there and.
They can't. They do can, something. In New York City, they've been told to let people protest.
Well, then what happens?
That's why you, New York City.
What happens
City's,
if you would have given a Frank Sinatra punch in the mouth? What would?
Well, then I would have had 100 people on me. I mean, that's the thing. That's why the girl, when she walked away, was dumb. Because yeah. if I'd have gotten over there,
yeah.
I mean, I wasn't going to assault her or anything no, necessarily.
You
but
you could have done the whole Kennedy's thing. What they did.
Well,
to,
but
what,
if,
they did to,
if,
what they did to
well, I
Elvis.
I can guarantee you, if she stuck herself out of my face, it'd have been gone. Yeah. It'd have been stuck somewhere where it couldn't record anymore.
Yeah, you know. I mean, dropping it on the ground, smashing and stepping on it would have helped a little bit. But
yeah, I mean, I you know, but I mean, you know, and again,
I mean,
I
you know,
and,
what they were doing
you know
though,
what?
Is crossing been, the line. So I think your crossing the line back is perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't, I had no desire to escalate things. If she, I mean, she left, I didn't follow her, but I wasn't going to stand there and let her, you know, stick a phone in my face. And,
but if they're calling you, if they're blocking your way, calling you a rapist,
and
kicking
sticks
at,
and stones,
kicking at you and stuff like
that.
That
was over the line. He got stepped on.
It sounds like they're looking for it, you know?
She was definitely asking for it. She didn't follow me with the cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, you know, and people have the right to protest, but it is illegal. It is literally, what they were doing was illegally detaining us, not allowing us to leave. It's illegal. You know, but somehow we've...
Yeah, you can push the door right into them if they're in front of the door. Just push
the,
them out.
Well, the doors were open. The thing is like, the restaurant was in, like, the basement of this building. So you had to go up about four steps. Or no, it was probably more like about six steps.
So they were on the steps even though they weren't eating there? So they're kind of like...
They were... No. They were all on the rail, and they were blocking the steps to the street. The girl was on... No, they were in the doorway. Yeah, you're right. They were trespassing because they were in the door, but they were not blocking the doorway.
So basically, they didn't want people to go in the restaurant, but since you were in there, they didn't want you to leave.
Yeah.
So they had it in for the restaurant for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and you know, like I said, the restaurant was completely unhelpful because what they should have done, because you know there's a back entrance, there has to be. Where they take the trash out? They don't take it out the front door.
I don't know. They throw on the curb in the front, usually.
Oh, you know what? They may. Now that you say that, it's New York.
And then they get the deliveries through the doors that open up and the little conveyor belt that goes down.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're right. There may not have been a back door.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why New York City is much less fun to go to than it was about 5 years ago. Just that kind of crap.
Yeah.
No, it happens all the time now. The city's gone to hell.
Well, we got a couple minutes. Let's change gears a little bit. I want to tell you what I've been doing. This is something you've done before in the past. I haven't done this for a long time. I decided this year I was going to document all the comics, trades, graphic novels I've read.
Oh, that's a good idea. I should do that every year.
So I'm going to start doing it every year. So since a third of the year has went by, I thought I'd give you a little update on not the names of everything, but the quantity.
Oh, the quantity?
The quantity, just so you can see that I'm trying to dig in and read as much as I can. So, in January, I only read 20 comics, but 11 graphic novels / trades. That's pretty good. February, 31 comics, no graphic novels. March, 63 comics, 10 graphic novels. April, 50 comics and 14 graphic novels for a one-third of the year total of, I've read 164 single issues and 35 graphic novels or trades.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good. I want to try to keep that pace up. I've, you know, last year I read a lot of Usagi Yojimbo. I read all of it except for the first 7 trades worth. I read all the other from like 8 to 36 or whatever. This year, I decided I was going to read trades, try to knock out some series. So currently, the series I'm working on is DMZ. You ever read any DMZ?
No. What's the other thing that Woods did? That was the DC thing. He did...
Vertigo, yeah. It's very topical because it takes place in New York City.
And because there's a HBO series.
There is, and I wanted to watch it, so I decided to knock out DMZ.
No, I've read, what's the other series he did?
He didn't do Why the Last Man, right?
No, it's Brian, is it Wood or Woods?
It's Brian Woods. Maybe it's Brian Wood. I'll tell you a little bit about it real quick. I've read about half of it so far. It's about a guy that's he's supposed to be he's like out of college. He's gonna be an intern for this reporter, and the setup is this movement started coming across America, and they called themselves like the Free States of America or whatever, and it kind of just started out west, and it started kind of coming across, working its way back east, and all these different people in the different states kind of joined up. Like a civil war, basically. And then New York State and maybe the northeastern part of the country, they're still considered the United States. And so in the middle, if you can call Long Island, not Long Island, but Manhattan, the middle, Manhattan is kind of shut off, almost like Escape from New York style. And so all the people in there had a chance to get out, but a very small window of time to get out. And so they got out as many people as they could, but like it's estimated like 400,000 people still live in Manhattan in the comic. And so what happened is there's a reporter who's kind of like the Tom Brokaw kind of a guy or something, like a really well-known reporter. He's going to go into the DMZ on the ground with like maybe a safety detail, like helicopter in. And so this young kid that's just out of college, his name's Maddie. Maddie's gonna go and be like his photojournalist. And so they go in and they've got no training. He's brand new to work for this company. He's got zero training. They drop him in, but right before they land, their helicopter's shot down or shot up or whatnot. And so when they get there, I think the helicopter actually takes off, but it gets destroyed. The reporter he's with gets like kidnapped or shot and kidnapped. He barely gets away. I think the security detail gets shot because all these people are like snipers in this area where they're at. There's just bullets flying everywhere. So this kid gets out. This lady that lives there, who's kind of like she was a med student and she stayed behind to help people. She helps kind of get him out of there because she knows the neighborhood and they won't shoot at her. And so he becomes like the press guy on the ground and he's got like a walkie-talkie and he can talk to the outside world. And so now he becomes the photojournalist or the reporter because the other guy was shot and is missing. So he's, even though he's not really, has no training really, he was just going to be like basically a photographer. Now he's actually doing the story and he's sending stories back to the Free States of America or whatever, or maybe even what they consider the USA or whatever. And so he has a chance to leave, but as he's in there and finds out more about what's going on, he decides to stay. And so I'm about halfway through and he's been there about 2 years now. And it's all these different stories about what's going on and like the politics of war, how the victims of war, that kind of stuff, but then also how people are surviving in this urban warfare, what they're eating, what their day-to-day is, and that kind of stuff, how they're getting by. And then, you know, at times there's like, he'll go to like the Lincoln Tunnel or whatever, which has been, it's under heavy guard, like no one in and out, and he'll talk to people there, and he's got a press jacket on, and he's become sort of famous, and so after a while, people recognize him. They don't try to kill him anymore because they know he's kind of like a man of the people or whatever. I think it's pretty good. The one interesting thing about it is Brian Wood is writing it, but he also did all of the covers himself. So all the...
Yeah, he's an artist.
Yeah, all of the design work on the covers and stuff is almost something like what Hickman would do or something. And then he's got this... I think his name is Bertelli or something like that, who does most of the art. And the art is very much, I'm not going to say Eduardo Rizzo, but you get the idea. It doesn't really look like Rizzo, but it has, something kind of reminds me of Rizzo a little bit. But then whenever they do like a spotlight on this character or that character, there'll be another artist maybe doing the artwork. And a couple of times Nathan Fox did some of those stories in there.
Oh, yeah.
And Nathan Fox, as you know, is extremely talented. So his issues look really good. And so they got really good artists in it. The coloring's nice. It's a Vertigo book, that kind of thing. I like it. It's actually not... There are a lot of text pieces as far as, like, not flat out pages and pages of it, but, like, there'll be boxes of, like, not only editorial stuff, but, like, kind of what's going on or whatever. But the dialogue isn't super heavy most of the time, so it's a little bit of a quick read, sort of. But, I mean, it's a war story, and I'm digging it, and it's called DMZ about halfway through. It's 12 trades altogether. I'm sure there's some collected volumes and that kind of thing. I got the 12 trades, and I'm digging it. So, yeah, I'd recommend it if you can get your hands on it. It's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Prescient, maybe? With wars going on.
It taps into the zeitgeist.
Yeah, it's with the war going on. And is the war in Ukraine still going on? I don't even know. Is that still something? I don't know.
Yeah, that's
plus,
the thing.
Plus, New York City's got its own problems now. And
apparently so. And I got stuck in an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, and me and you both like Escape from New York. So I think it kind of fits in that whole what's going on nowadays kind of a thing. I'm digging it. I think you might actually like it.
So it's funny. Okay, so I mentioned I had something of Woods's. His name is Wood, not Woods, but yeah. I looked up some of his stuff because I couldn't think of the name of it. I have a trade paperback of Channel Zero, the complete collection. Channel Zero was a self-published. Well, I think he did it through Planet Lair.
Okay, yeah.
AIT Planet Lair originally. But a creator-owned thing that he did. And it's come out through Dark Horse and through Image. But there's a complete collection. He did a sketchbook for that called Public Domain, a Channel Zero sketchbook. Or a Channel Zero design book. And it has a bunch of stuff like sketches that he did because... I think he drew Channel Zero, but then part of it Becky Cloonan drew. There's the complete is about 300 pages, and part of that sketchbook thing is it has like part of his some project he did for school or something like that. It's been a while since I looked at it. I actually had that. Before I had the complete book, which also has that, but the Planet Lair printed the public domain book by itself, that sketchbook of his. And he's put out, I've got the file on my computer somewhere, last time I was looking for it, I couldn't find it, but he put out a PDF of like a sketchbook of his. And he's not an artist like, hey, here's my sketchbook and it's a bunch of figure drawings. A lot of it tends to be like design stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like on Channel Zero, one of the big things was it was like all the corporations owned everything, and like the main character was like an independent news reporter or something. Kind of like a precursor to like some of these YouTube reporters that you see. And so he did a lot of logos and a lot of like design work for that. He also did a series called The Couriers. I have that trade paperback also, and that was part of that was drawn by Brett Wydell.
Oh yeah, we know him.
And that ran. I don't know how long it ran, but that trade, the complete Couriers, 360 pages. And then another thing I have of his is Demo, which is a miniseries he did.
Oh yeah,
12 issue miniseries with Cloonan. With Becky Cloonan, she did the art, and it's been a while since I've read that. I think it was, each issue was a different story about somebody that got a superpower, some sort of weird power.
Yeah, I haven't read that. He did the locales. Did he do that?
I don't think he did local. That was
somebody else. Okay,
I think that was somebody else.
Okay,
but Brian Wood has kind of come into a lot of controversy because...
Oh, really?
Well, he's been accused of sexually harassing some women.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's...
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you've been in management, and
you're damn right.
You know, you always are like, hey, I'm gonna bring this girl into my office and talk to her. Leave the door open.
Yeah, you gotta leave the door open. In fact, it's better if you have at least one or two persons in there with you.
You have to be very careful. I have a new employee that's female, and I meet with her, and I want it to be private because I want to know if anything's going on. But I meet in an office next to somebody else's, and I always leave the door open. And I was, yeah. In fact, I was talking to my boss's boss today, and we were talking about this because he was concerned because she works in a room with two other guys that I'm not in. They're off by themselves. And so we were kind of talking about that, and I told him, I said, every week I meet with her, and I always ask her, is everything okay? Are they treating you well? Stuff like that. And she went to school with one of the other guys, so I don't think there'll be an issue. But he told me, he said, that's good that you do that, because if she ever claims something happened, she can't come back and say that I knew about it and didn't say anything. You know what I'm saying? I can say, as your boss, I asked you every week, and you never told me. Or if she ever tells me, it's like, okay, I can take action immediately. It's not like the company didn't do anything. So Brian Wood has been accused by a couple people of sexual harassment. Yeah. Who knows? You know,
it was the Scott Alley thing all over again.
Comic conventions. We've been to comic conventions. We've been to bars at comic conventions. Again, like I think the last episode I said, sometimes comics are not ran like a business. They're ran like a frat house. And so nothing surprises me at a bar, at a comic convention.
Nothing should surprise you. You're potentially out of town. You're at a bar. You're drunk. It's late at night.
You're with people who may idolize you.
No telling what could happen.
Could be groupies. So apparently,
that happened to Warren Ellis too, right?
Was it Warren Ellis? Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what he's accused of, but there's something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be precise in the accusation. You just have to make the accusation, and it's, you know. Anyway, there's somebody named Laura Hudson accused Wood in 2019.
Okay.
Laura Hudson accused Wood of grabbing her and forcing her into a kiss at a bar in 2007. So 12 years later, she said, he grabbed me and forced me to kiss him. And then...
And Brian Wood's like, who's this person again?
And as a result of that, Dark Horse has said they would not pursue any more projects with him. However, in 2020, the Comics Journal reported that following Hudson's employment on the Ava DuVernay-helmed adaption of Wood's DMZ, she deleted the accusation against Wood. So, she got a job on the show DMZ... And she's now deleted her accusations.
But hang on a minute. If you don't like the guy, why would you want to work on the guy's show?
If he tried to... Yeah, I don't know.
But so in other words, she just used this as some notoriety?
I'm not saying she did or didn't.
That's what it smells like. Let me just say, I think that's what's happened.
It is kind of weird that...
Of all the shows to get a job on, you had to get a job on a show from a guy that you could...
Yeah, she's a writer. I was looking to see what she did.
Well, once again, if you're a writer, why aren't you doing this on another show? Why are you doing it on a show from a guy that supposedly sexually harassed you? There's tons of shows out there.
Yeah. Could it be a payoff? I don't know.
I think what he should do, though, is use whatever power he's got to have her ass fired. I mean, seriously. You can't trust that bitch. You know, she's accused you of something, she's got a job, and now she says it didn't happen. Which way was it?
Well...
Did it happen or not? If it happened, then what the hell's going on here?
Why is she recanting it?
Right.
That's the... It's not... Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You can't trust her. She doesn't. You don't need her on your show. What other kind of shit is she going to stir up? You think she would be as far away from you as ever? If he drops in, is there going to be some words?
She meant to kiss him.
I mean, This is the kind of crap I'm talking about. What the hell?
Well, you know, Frank would take a swig and...
Oh, yeah.
Punch Brian and kiss her and... It'd all be
no, good. No, I think he'd high-five Brian, depending on what she looked like.
Well, I say all that to say we live in strange times, and no one, you know, he has made a career of imagining strange times, but I would imagine he never imagined it'd be as strange as it is.
Yeah, probably not, but... Yeah, so back to DMZ. Hey, read it. Check it out. It's cool.
I will check out the... Maybe that's the miniseries I'll watch next.
As soon as I get done reading this, which
you're gonna watch quick,
I'm going to watch it, yeah. Well, also, it's got a what's-her-name in it. I like her a lot. Rosario Dawson, so I thought I'd give it a shot. Although, I'm not really sure. She must play the med school girl. Because surely she doesn't play the reporter. It's a guy, but maybe they switched to... Maybe she's playing the reporter guy. I don't know
what she's doing. What's the ETA of you starting to watch it, do you think?
Probably about 2 weeks. I need to read the rest of the other half. I got about six trades.
How long do you think this is only the first season's out, right?
I don't even know. What's it on right now? Is it on HBO Max?
It's on HBO Max.
How many episodes is there?
I have no idea. I haven't watched it.
But they've dropped it all, or is it once a week?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I just saw it was out.
I'll probably start watching it in a couple of weeks.
Now, I knew it was a Brian Wood joint, so I thought I'd watch it.
Joint, yes.
It's a joint.
Yeah.
Probably literally.
Probably in 2 weeks I'll be on it.
Okay, yeah. Maybe we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's do this. We're in a little long. Let's wrap this episode up right now. As always, I'm your host, D.L. Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Come back next week for another all-new episode. Check out our blog at betterthanfictionthepodcast.blogspot.com, where I will post some photos of what we talked about tonight.
And if you enjoyed the podcast, please take a second and leave a review and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. That will help other people find it so they can enjoy it as much as you did.
Damn straight. And with that, we'll say, hey, see you next week. We're out of here.
Little ring-a-ding-ding.